Hey, that was good preaching this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I was helped by that preacher. That was a blessing. Praise the Lord. I hope you got a double dose of that because you're not going to get anything like that tonight. Amen. Open your Bibles. Let's get into the Word of God. That's what you're here for, right? If you would, open your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You know, this is the kind of church that believes in winning people to Christ, right? I mean, you're active. I mean, you even crack their cars so you can get the witness to them. I don't know how you did that, Mr. Dickens, but you did a good job. Amen. Plow into them, say, okay, I need to talk to you about the Lord. What would you, would you be in heaven if you died just now? That's the way it works, right? Amen. Hey, I got to tell you something. Somebody asked me, this morning it was funny. You said, you know, Pastor Benson and Bonnie are here, and everybody went, yay. Then you said, Pastor Benson's preaching tonight, and went, boo. Kind of like it was silent. But your daughter, Sophie, where's Sophie? Sophie, where are you at? Right here in the front row. She says, are you preaching tonight? I said, yeah. She goes, I like her already. Amen. 2 Timothy, when you get there, open your Bibles if you would. There, and then when you get there, stand. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. But I was just mentioning to you, you know, about soul-winning churches. That's what we do. We like to win people to Christ. We like to witness to people. Of course, Christ, you know, the Holy Spirit does the work. We understand that. But we get to get in on that. But, you know, sometimes I think we have the attitude that that's the end of it, you know. They get saved, and then now you go find the next person to witness to. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to win them to Christ, and then we disciple them. We get involved in their life, right? And, you know, for yourself, when you got saved, that wasn't the end of it, just getting saved. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank God that we get saved. Thank God that we understand the simple plan of salvation. We get in on this thing. But we need to go further than that, and that's what I want to talk to you about here tonight. So look here at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and pick it up in verse number 1. We're talking about last days things here, and that's where we're living. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. That's a sign of our time right there. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Church, stay away from that crowd. Don't be part of that crowd. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. They don't go any farther. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou... Here's where we get in on this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Who's he writing to? The Holy Spirit's writing to Timothy here. And of course, we're getting included in this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we'd ask that you'd help me, Lord, to be a help, to be an encouragement, to help strengthen this church through your word and by your spirit. Lord, I know I'm nothing, and Lord, I just want to get out of the way and just let the Holy Spirit minister to hearts. Lord, help us take information in, but not just let it come into our brain, but Lord, take it down into our heart and allow us, Lord, to apply the Word of God so that, Lord, we could live our life that would be pleasing to you, put a smile on your face. Lord, we know we are in the last days, and we know it's just around the corner, maybe tonight. Lord, maybe all of us tonight will go home from here, into glory. And Lord, that'd be great. And if not, Lord, help us to be faithful and just to continue to serve you. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the death, the burial, the resurrection. Thank you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by which we're redeemed and bought and saved. And we ask your blessings now on the reading of your word and the preaching of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So when we talk about a person getting saved, being born again, being redeemed, being, you know, the new birth by faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And it's like I said, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. So if you're saved here today, and I'll assume that everybody here is, if you're not, then I would encourage you not to waste another moment's time and get that settled before it's eternally too late for you. I would encourage you to do that. But I want you to notice two verses here, if you would. Look at verse number 14, if you would. Verse number 14, and notice the first three words, "But continue thou." But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And if you would, go back over to another verse. And if you would, look with me at verse number 10. And he says to Timothy, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience," and so on and so forth. So what I want to talk to you about here tonight is continuing. Continuing. We live in a day and age of quitters, right? Can I just suggest to you that God is not a quitter? What God began in you, he's going to finish in you. He's not going to bring you halfway through this thing. He's going to finish the course that he has in you and what he has started in you, what he has started through you, and what he wants to accomplish. And that's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. So we understand God is not a quitter, but now let's talk about us for a moment, because we need to continue what we started for God. Some of you have been saved here a long time. You know, some of you may be newly saved. As I look around, I see people that I haven't seen here before. That's a good thing. All these young people up here, that's a blessing. That tells you the life of a church when you have young people involved in church, involved in singing, involved in classes, and so on. And so I want to suggest to you here tonight for us to continue to serve God, for us to continue to go on what we started for God. I got saved February 11, 1974, so, you know, I've been around a little bit. My wife was saved about 9 months before I was. And so there's some life in us, you know, that we can look back and see in your eyes and see in your families, young families who are just beginning in their walk with the Lord as a family. And we take our minds back to when we started as a young family, as young Christians ourselves, and what a blessing we've had. Can I just say to you, my goal is to finish well and to finish with joy. You've probably heard me say this. I don't want to be one of these old guys wearing, you know, shorts down to the knees, black socks up from the feet to the knees, wearing Italian loafers, you know, and playing shuffleboard somewhere. That's not my idea of finishing my course. I want to finish, you know, in the plow, doing something for God and accomplishing. And I'm assuming you're the same way. And so we need to continue what we started for God. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man," that's any of us here, "having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." If we're going to keep looking backward, we're never going to accomplish anything forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice some things here as we look at this portion of Scripture. I want you to notice the first three words that we see there, but he says, "But continue thou." That's the direction. That's the directive that God has given to Timothy here, and I'm passing that along to us through the Word of God as well. I think probably the greatest burden for any man of God, any preacher, any pastor, is when people in their church quit. when you see somebody just kind of lay the sword down and walk away from church, walk away from the Bible, walk away from anything that's, you know, that God did in their life, and they just walk away from that. I don't know of too many pastors, I don't know of any, to be honest with you, that can take that without weeping, without crying, without being saddened by, you know, somebody leaving the church. Because so many people start, but they very seldom finish. I'm going to exhort you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight to be a finisher. Don't just get in this thing for a short time and then quit and walk away. Continue thou. That's the directive. Continue thou. There's a character trait that's missing in Christianity today, and that's this idea of faithfulness and finishing what you started. So get this mindset in you that I'm not going to be a quitter. By God's grace, by God's mercy, I'm going to be faithful to the Word of God. I'm going to be faithful to the ministry that God has given me. And if you have no ministry within this church of any, involvement, that's okay. Just being faithful to church, being faithful to your Bible reading, being faithful to pray for your pastor, being faithful to pray for those, visiting those that need to be visited. And if need be, run into somebody with your car, whatever you have to do to get that thing done. But we live in this throwaway society today. Everything you have in your house, there's probably so much plastic and paper that you use and you throw in the trash can. That's the society that we live in. We just throw things away. We use it temporarily and then we throw it away. So that's the kind of society. But you know, in the Christian realm, we do the same thing. You know, in the 35 years I've been pastoring, involved in the ministry, I've seen people throw so much down the tube. I've seen them throw their kids away. I've seen them throw their spouses away. I've seen them throw their walk with the Lord away. I've seen them throw their morals away. I've seen them throw their Bible to the side. And it breaks my heart to be able to know that people do that. But people also do other things. They could be in church, but they throw away their self-respect. They throw away their testimony. Because they don't want to stand for Christ, they just want to go through the motions, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We're no better than James and Jambres when we have a lifestyle like that. So I want to encourage you to be a finisher and to finish and accomplish what God wants to do with you. Find out what God's plan is for your life. Find out what God's purpose is for your life and stick to it. And finish until God moves you into a different direction. But stay faithful to whatever it is God's given to you. Find out God's plan. Find out God's purpose. Find out what God wants you to do. Taking the Word of God, taking the precepts of the Word of God and applying them to your life and then doing something with God. Paul's admonition to Timothy here was, but continue thou. Continuing has the idea of it's something that's not going to perish. It's not perishable. It's going to last. It's going to endure. It's going to stick around for a while. It's the opposite of quitting. When you're in, where's the Navy guy? My buddy is in the Navy here. There he is over here. He's so close to the door. That's the way the Navy is. They're so close to the door. I've been kidding him every time I see him to kid him about he's in the wrong branch being in the Navy. But anyway, there was a term in the military called falling out. You'd come to attention, but then they'd say fall out. You know, when you quit on God, you're falling out. You're dismissing yourself from your duties. You're dismissing yourself from what you should be doing. So when you talk about continuing, it's the opposite of fainting. It's the opposite of falling out. It's the opposite of quitting. It's the opposite of walking away. It's the opposite of giving up. And you say, you know, preacher, you don't know some of the things that I've been through in my life. And I don't. And I'm aware of the fact that every one of us in this room goes through different things, afflictions, persecutions, trials, all the things. We go through things in life. And just because you got saved doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy and nothing's ever going to go wrong in your life. You're never going to have a problem. You're going to have problems. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. You're not going to get away from that. But don't let the problem, as the preacher said this morning, don't let the problem get you out of church. Don't let the problem get you away from God. Don't let the problem get you away from your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice, if you would, in the text here, because we want to look at these words. He says but continue thou in what? In the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of. So the things you've learned. Information that you have gathered, information, ideas that you have gotten. And the Apostle Paul here is talking about the fact that, Timothy, you've got some privileged information. And Christian, you've got some privileged information. Not everybody in this world knows what you know. Not everybody understands the simplicity of the gospel because they've never heard it. So you have some information about God. You have some information because you have a Bible. Thank God you have a Bible. What a blessing. But we have been, and just like Timothy, we have been exposed to truth. Truth is a wonderful thing, Brother Eric, to have truth. Because, you know, I lived for 24 years of my life in a religious lie. I didn't know what the truth was. But when I got the truth, as the Bible says, truth makes free. And I was made free because of Jesus Christ and because of the truth of God's Word. So, you know, we need to understand that we have learned some things that not everybody has learned. We have information that we've heard that not everybody has heard. My daughter Sherry is a signer, you know, for the deaf. And I could never understand this in the beginning, but, you know, talking to deaf people, I said, well, why can't they understand this concept? And she says, Dad, there's a lot of things that the deaf community do not hear. You hear things just by being in a room. You hear all the conversations. You hear things going on that the deaf don't hear. And I never thought of it like that, because we get information just by being in a room, listening and overhearing another conversation. And so there's a lot of things that a lot of people don't hear that you and I have heard, that we have been privy to truth and information that not everybody in this world has ever heard. So we need to understand here, just like Timothy, most of you have had an amazing opportunity to be in a church like this. Can I just say this to you? Don't take for granted what you have here. You have no idea. Unless you get outside of your area and you go visiting and you go around the country, you have no idea what God has given to you here. You really don't. And don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever allow it to slip. And I just want to encourage you with that thought. But he says here the things you have learned. And then he says, and has been assured of, to be made firm in your life. There's an assurance there. Something that has been established in your life. It's been made concrete in your life. Something that you have been fully persuaded of by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God. That goes beyond privileged information, and it goes into proven information. How do we prove that? Because we see what God says, and this book all comes together, and then when you apply the principles and the precepts of God's Word, you can say, I've proven this. This, what God says, is true. It does work. Just like your salvation, it does work. That assurance that you have, it does work. So he says those things that you've been assured of, to make those things trustworthy in your life, make them real in your life, make that information. It means that it's a reality. It doesn't, there's no question. There's no, you know, what about? You know, I'm not quite sure if this is 100% right. There's truth here that is unquestioned. There's truth here that's undeniable. You've been assured of. Thank God for that. So he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Young people in here, can I just say something to you? You got some great Sunday school teachers. You got a great pastor. You got people in this church that care about you. You know, you went to camp, what, last week? My grandkids went to camp with this church. What a blessing. The things they talked about coming back, about all that they learned with the camp that you went to and took them. And thank you for that. But you know, you got parents. You don't always agree with mom and dad. You don't always have to agree with them. You just have to do yes, mom. Yes, dad. You know why? I always told my kids, because I said so, you know, and, you know, I'm the old school, but it's because I said so, and I'm the papa, and I'm the dad. And so, you know, I tried to love my kids, I tried to teach my kids, and, you know, they're all old goomers now. My son's 47, Sherry's 45, the twins are 43, and my wife is 39. I don't even know how that all came about, but it did. So, you know, when you talk about knowing of whom thou hast learned them, you have pastors, you have teachers, you have people in this church that care about you and love you and are here for you. And don't ever take for granted, you know, you got a Christian school here. What a blessing that is. Some of you maybe homeschool, I don't know, you know, or maybe you go to public school. But don't take for granted what you've got. Don't take for granted the people that are in authority in your life, and have that discernment to know who you're learning things from. You can tell a lot about the message by the messenger. You can tell if it's real by their life. If what they say is real, if what they say is actually happening in their life. And if it's real in their life, then you can take that message and say, you know, that's sound stuff. You can be assured of that. You know, Paul wasn't this fly-by-night, whimsical type of preacher. He was God-called. God called him into the ministry and had a purpose. And we'll talk about that in just a minute here. But, you know, when you understand that the preacher that God is talking about here with the Apostle Paul, he wasn't, you know, looking for popularity. He wasn't, you know, following the fads. And a lot of times what happens is pastors, you know, they follow the latest fad, the latest thing that's going on. I'm thankful that this church has always had a pastor that just said, we're going to stick by the stuff. We're going to stick by the Bible. And you ought to thank God for that, because that's not something that's always going on in every church. There's a lot of professionalism in ministry. There's nothing professional about your pastor. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, he's just real. He's real. Thank God for that. Preach the truth. Even when Paul preached the truth, he ended up in prison, persecutions, afflictions. And he lost his life by preaching the truth. That may happen. We're not living that in America, but it's happening in a lot of countries. It's happening in a lot of places where God's people, Christians, are dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. So let's look at this thing a little bit further here, if you can. Look with me here back at verse number 10. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, affliction, so on and so forth. Now, I'm not going to hit every one of these, but I want to hit a couple of them. And I won't take them in the order that you find them, that we just read them. But I want you to stop and think about continue in purpose. What's your purpose? What are you here for? I don't mean why are you here in church tonight, but you know, you're saved. When you got saved, God didn't just take you home, right? So he left you here. Why did he leave you here? Because he's got a purpose for your life. And we need to understand that you know, in this list of things that Paul is telling Timothy, you need to be faithful and continue in purpose. Well, what's your purpose? Can I just show you something? Go to Acts. Keep your finger here and go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And get Acts chapter 9 while you're there as well. Acts chapter 26. We'll look at this first. Acts chapter 26. I know you're familiar with this portion of Scripture. This is one of three places where Paul gives his testimony in the book of Acts of what happened in Acts chapter 9, gives his testimony in Acts chapter 22, and then thirdly here in Acts chapter 26. And we learn some things here. And so pick it up in verse 13, 26:13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this, say it with me, church, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Why? What's your purpose, Paul? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. There's a purpose. God gives Paul his purpose, gives to Saul his purpose. And he's going to give him this purpose to preach and proclaim the truth of the Word of God about Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 9 now. Acts chapter 9. Look at verse number 8. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there were a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice what happens here, verse number 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. First thing he does, gets baptized. Good thing. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Now he's hanging around with God's people. And verse number 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue. He immediately starts preaching the purpose that God gave to him, that he is the Son of God. Verse 21, and all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving, there's that assurance, that this is very Christ. So as soon as Paul gets squared away here with the Lord, he begins his purpose. And his purpose to be baptized, to start to learn, to start to grow, to start to hear from other disciples what they have been privy to about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he's preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's proclaiming the truth. And that was his purpose. And so when you stop and think about, you know, your purpose and my purpose, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 19 says, What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have a purpose. Your purpose, my purpose, is not just to be saved. Your purpose and my purpose is to glorify God in our life until He takes us home. We are here for His pleasure. We are here for His service. We buy things, and then, you know, we buy things we don't even need sometimes. And then we fill up drawers and closets with things, and then we go rent space for $100 a month to put things that we don't use all the time, that we paid money for. Can I say something to you? God doesn't pay for something and then not use it. We do that as human beings, but God doesn't do that. He bought you. He redeemed you. He bought you for a purpose, and He wants to use you. Find out exactly what it is God wants you to do. If you don't know what it is, go to your pastor and say, I need some help. Go to somebody and say, would you pray with me? I need to know what God really wants me to do, other than the general plan that God gives to every Christian to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Purpose. 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 Everything in the Bible has purpose. Everything that God uses has purpose. And we need to understand that truth. So that when you talk about purpose, there is much in Scripture that I think that would behoove you to pay attention to just a couple of verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, Paul said. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul discovered early in his Christian life the purpose that he had, and he did everything he could to help other people discover what that purpose is for them. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 says, Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to understand you have a purpose and God has a purpose for you. So he says continue in purpose. Let me give you a second one here, just in this. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 10, he says in there continue in purpose, but he also says in there to continue in faith. In Acts chapter 14 verse 22, the Bible says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. To continue in the faith. And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. The list of things that Paul mentions to Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10 included this word faith. Paul's testimony. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the very next chapter, in verse number 7, he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have what? Kept the faith. You have been entrusted. This church has been entrusted with the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have received this information, and you need to be diligent in proclaiming that, just as Paul said to Timothy. You know, when you talk about, you know, I have kept the faith. When you keep something, you're protecting it. You know what a gatekeeper is? You know what a goalkeeper is? If you play hockey, you know, there's a goalie there. What's he doing? He's the goalkeeper. He's protecting that area from, you know, the other team scoring goals on him. So he's going to protect that at all costs, sometimes with his body, sometimes with his face, sometimes with the hockey stick. But he's going to protect that to keep others from taking advantage of that and scoring a goal. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be keeping the faith. We're supposed to be protecting the faith. Folks, I don't know whether you know this, but there's, you know, you're probably very protected here because you've got such a close-knit group here. But there's a lot. You go to churches, you would be amazed at what gets infiltrated in the churches with false doctrine. I mean, it just baffles my mind. But I believe that this church, that you here in this church have been grounded and settled and you're assured of, and you have an understanding of your Bible. You ought to thank God for that. I was telling my wife the other day, you know, I forget what we turned on something, watching something on YouTube, some preaching, and I just looked at her and I said, aren't you grateful? Aren't you thankful that we got into a good church? As soon as we got saved, we got into a good church. And we were established and we were grounded and we were taught. And, you know, so we're not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Don't be one of these Christians that gets, you know, oh, twinkle dusted by this and Twitter pated by this, and you get bounced around by all the latest doctrine that's thrown out there. Stick with your Bible. Stick with the Word of God and read your Bible and be faithful in understanding your Bible. Be faithful in studying your Bible. Be faithful in reading. You know, give attendance to reading. Get in that Bible. Read your Bible. Absorb it. Take time to study the Word of God. Listen to your pastor. Listen to those that are involved in teaching you sound doctrine. And stand for the faith. There are 26 references just to the word faith in 1 and 2 Timothy alone. But there's two kinds of references that you find. And I'm going to listen to me. I'll just read these to you for the sake of time. Because Paul gives some condemnations concerning the faith. What did he say? In 1 Timothy 4, verse number 1, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So you can depart from the faith. I said in the beginning of this message, you need to continue. This you got to be careful because you can depart from the faith. You can deny the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own home, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. When you deny the faith, you're worse than a lost person. I don't understand that, but you're worse than an infidel. You can cast off your faith. 1 Timothy 5:12, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. You can err from the faith. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When you err from the faith, you're stabbing yourself. You're hurting yourself. 1 Timothy 6:21 says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. That's the truth. You can overthrow the faith of some people. 2 Timothy 2:18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Do you realize as a Christian, you can hinder another Christian? Do you realize that as a Christian, you can do things that would hinder a lost person from ever getting saved? That falls on us. You can be reprobate concerning the faith. 2 Timothy 3:8, now as James, I read the verse, and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. We can get to the place where we just take it, you know, for granted what God has given to us. But there's some commendations that Paul gives, the Holy Spirit gives, concerning faith. You can have sons in the faith. 1 Timothy 1:12, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. You can have faith unfeigned. In other words, unfeigned faith, it's not fake, it's not phony, it's real. It's the real thing. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You can hold to the faith or you can put faith away. That book, you can hold to it or you can cast it aside. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 1:9, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, some have put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You know, when you discard the faith, when you discard the truth, when you discard the Word of God like that, you are going to end up shipwrecked. You're going to end up on the rocks of life. And then, you know, we all, everybody in this room, from me to you, you know somebody. You know somebody who was saved, maybe in this church, maybe in your family, maybe somebody you worked with that got saved and they were growing. Then all of a sudden something happened. And it can happen for many reasons, but a lot of times it just something happens in their life and all of a sudden they're out of church and they don't want to talk to you about the Bible anymore. They don't want to talk to you about Christ anymore. And they become shipwrecked. They come on the rocks of life and they're shipwrecked. They put away faith. You can hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You can have great boldness in the faith. Not everybody I know is willing to crash their car into somebody, but you can have boldness in the faith. 1 Timothy 3:13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You can be nourished up in the faith, which is what you get here every time the Word of God, every time you come to church. 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. You can be an example of the believer in faith. Whether you realize it or not, young people are watching adults, adults are watching adults, adults are we watch people all the time. I'm a people watcher. When I go, I'm going to fly somewhere, I sit in the chair, you know, in the terminal, and I just watch people. I just observe people. It's amazing what you can learn about life just observing people going about their daily activity. And you can, do you ever notice sometimes, I bet you that's a Christian. Do you ever notice the way somebody, you know, they just got bounced off their flight, but their attitude is not bad, and they seem to be okay. And I've seen people do things like this. I bet you they're a Christian. A lot of times I go up to people, and you say, are you a child of God? Do you know God as your Savior? There's something different about you. You know, there's something different about a child of God. There's something different about you. You don't fit in this world. You're a square peg in a round hole. But thank God you're screwed into the right one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be an example of the believer. You can follow after faith. 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Follow after faith. Follow after the things that are of God. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And you can fight the good fight of faith. Like Paul said, I've finished my course. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and professed a good profession before many witnesses. You can hold fast in the faith. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And as I already said, you can keep the faith. You know, there's some things, and I want to just say this to you in closing, because there's so much I could bring out here, but the last one here is continue in doctrine. Continue in doctrine. He says in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that first thing in verse number 10 is doctrine. You know what we stand upon? We stand upon doctrine. Aren't you glad that you have sound doctrine? I mean, don't just let that cast aside from your brain. There's three kinds of doctrines in the Bible. There's the doctrines of men, where somebody comes up with their own teaching. They have their own ideas, and they, you know, negate the Word of God, and they go off in their own direction. And that's what the Bible says in Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's why you needn't be in your Bible, so you're not going to be shifted around by all that. Colossians 2:22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Titus 1:14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. The commandments of men will turn you away from sound doctrine. They'll turn you away. They'll turn you against another brother and sister in Christ. That false doctrine will turn you away from your church. It'll turn you away from your pastor. Then there's doctrines of devils. They blatantly deny the Scriptures and contradict the Scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. There's guys running around there now, you know, you're going through the tribulation, and you know, the church is going to go through the tribulation, and, you know, Christians should hate the Jew. And these are preachers. And, you know, it shouldn't have anything to do with Israel. God's done with Israel. I got news for you. God's not done with Israel. Doctrines of devils. And then thirdly, there's sound doctrine. You can always tell because it doesn't tickle your ear. It doesn't please you. Oh, this doctrine, this is a little rough. This is a little hard. This is a little rough. And you can know that's from God. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Be a mature Christian. Continue thou. Understand, know what you believe, and understand why you believe what you believe. Not wavering, not double-minded, not tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but being firm in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be mature. Be mature. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The words of God are amazing, where he tells you in the book of Isaiah that he says, whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. The Bible goes on to say, you know, it's here a little, there a little. Here a little, there a little. And that's what you do. When I first got saved, I didn't understand all the doctrines of the Word of God. I hope I know more now than I did then, but I'm still learning. I'm still growing. You never stop learning. You never stop being a student of the Word of God. You say, well, you know, I've been saved this long, and so, you know, I know everything. No, you don't know everything. There's still some things in the Word of God that you're still going to learn. That you know, maybe you got this little idea in your head, and you'll see that in the Scripture, and you begin to study that and teach that, you know, to yourself, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to help you to mature as a child of God. Doctrine. Doctrine. If any man will do his will, Jesus said, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Aren't you glad you can tell what's truth? Aren't you glad that you can discern sound doctrine? Continue in this right approach to doctrine, this instruction, this teaching from the Word of God. Because we're witnessing a very strong deterioration of sound doctrine in our churches. Stand firm for the faith. Stand firm in the doctrine. You know, don't get easily pushed aside and wavered about, and help others to learn that doctrine and to be mature themselves and to grow as a child of God. Sound doctrine is commanded in Scripture. Sound doctrine is commended in Scripture. Sound doctrine is committed in Scripture. But sound doctrines can sometimes be controversial. It says in Jude chapter 1 there, verse number 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." There's always going to be somebody, and even in the brethren, you may have to mark someone. They're causing offenses and divisions contrary to the doctrines which you have learned from the Word of God. And the Bible says there in Romans, to avoid them. Avoid them. You can be easily persuaded, so be careful that you can analyze Scripture based upon the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, and take Scripture with Scripture, here a little, there a little, and build your Bible doctrine based upon the Word of God, not your feelings, not your thoughts, not what somebody else thinks. It's the doctrine of men, but build it upon the Holy Spirit's teaching in your life. I hope that you can see that you need to continue thou, and be steadfast, and be faithful, and finish what you've started. It's not over yet. We haven't heard the trumpet yet. We got time to do an awful lot more for the Lord until we get that call to go home. Amen? Bow your heads, if you would, just for a word of prayer, and we'll finish up here with the word of prayer here tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity just to examine. Lord, we've looked and mentioned a lot of Scripture here tonight. Lord, I believe the Bible, and I believe this church believes the Bible, and they stand firm on the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you would help this church to continue thou, to be strong, to be steadfast. Lord, to earnestly contend for what they have here, and not allow even themselves, Lord, to disrupt the harmony and the fellowship and the joy that's going on in this local assembly right here. I thank you for this dear pastor and his love for this congregation. Thank you for his love for the Word of God, the example that he is with his wife and children. Lord, he loves these people. And Lord, I pray that you'd give him wisdom and discernment beyond his years in this world, and help him to encourage this church to continue on. Lord, I was blessed this morning by his study in the Word of God. And Lord, I was encouraged this morning. And Lord, I can imagine that everybody in this church, even as we heard testimony earlier, about they were helped by the Word of God this morning. And Lord, that's what it's all about. That's why you gave us this Bible. That's why you gave us an indwelling Holy Spirit, our teacher, our instructor. So Lord, please keep your hand of protection. Guard this church. Guard the Spirit. There's a good Spirit in this church. Help them, Lord, to continue on. Lord, I love these folks. I'm thankful to be able to call them, Bonnie and Mike, we call them our friends. And Lord, we're grateful to be able to know them, be able to labor together with them for the cause of Christ. So Lord, bless this ministry. Help the pastor as he comes. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit just guide and direct in this invitation. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.